What's up, builders? Welcome back to the terminal. Today, we're cutting through the noise on three infrastructure shifts that actually matter for what you're building right now. We've got production-ready voice AI that finally solves the audio problem without killing your observability, validated multi-agent patterns from Grok's architecture that you can ship today, and a critical reality check on where that $650 billion in AI infrastructure spend creates real opportunities for builders like us. Let's dive in. Okay, first up, 11labs just changed the economics of voice AI, and here's why you should care. Their V3 release represents the first production-grade voice interface that actually solves a problem we've been wrestling with since OpenAI's advanced voice mode launched. The problem? Pure audio-to-audio systems are black boxes. You lose your text processing pipelines, your logging breaks, content filtering becomes a nightmare, and debugging conversational flow feels like trying to troubleshoot a binary blob. 11labs took a different architectural approach, and it's brilliant in its practicality. They maintain text in the loop while achieving sub-200 millisecond latency. Think about what this gives you. Your standard text processing pipelines still work. You get full observability into what's actually happening in the conversation. You can still parse, filter, and log everything. But users get emotional bracketing, natural turn-taking, and conversational quality that actually feels human. And here's the kicker. You're not locked into proprietary audio processing. Your migration paths stay open because you're still working with text under the hood. So when should you actually deploy this? Let me give you the decision tree. Voice interfaces make sense for customer service automation, where you're reducing typing overhead and creating more natural interactions. They're perfect for voice assistance and accessibility applications where audio is the primary interface. And they work great for consumer-facing conversational products where friction is your enemy. But here's what the evidence shows. For complex analytical tasks, typing still outperforms voice for cognitive load. So don't try to force voice into scenarios where it doesn't fit. Now, let's talk cost reality. Voice reduces user friction. That's undeniable. But it increases your infrastructure complexity. You need to budget for audio processing overhead. The good news? In customer-facing applications, the conversion rate improvements typically offset those costs. The text-in-the-loop architecture means you're building on standard infrastructure, not betting the farm on a single vendor's audio stack. Here's your action item. If you're building consumer products or customer service automation, prototype with 11labs V3 this quarter. The combination of conversational quality with text observability removes the trade-off we've been living with. This is production-ready infrastructure you can ship. All right, let's shift gears to multi-agent architectures, because Grok 4.20 just validated a pattern we've been experimenting with for months. Their architecture breakdown shows a 4-agent parallel processing system distilled from a 10-agent heavy model, and it confirms something critical. Specialized agent architectures outperform monolithic models for complex reasoning. This isn't theory anymore. This is production. Here's how it works. Each agent specializes in distinct capabilities. You've got a research agent handling data gathering and synthesis, an argumentation agent building logical reasoning chains, a critical analysis agent evaluating edge cases, and a coordination layer managing parallel execution. Think of this like multi-core CPU design applied to large language models. Concurrent, specialized processing beats serial general-purpose execution every time. Now, the creator's testing approach reveals something even more interesting. For high-stakes decisions, they run parallel queries across GPT-4, Claude, Gemini, and Grok, then evaluate consensus. Let's do the math on this. You're paying 4 times the API costs for parallel model execution, but what are you getting? Redundancy and bias mitigation for critical decisions, failback mechanisms when individual models fail, and for high-stakes applications in medical, legal, or financial domains, the ROI is absolutely positive. You cannot afford to ship incorrect answers in these contexts. But let's be clear about limitations. Multi-agent architecture doesn't eliminate training data limitations or safety constraints. Grok 4.20 still exhibits defensive hedging on controversial topics. You still need prompt engineering and bias detection systems. The architecture helps, but it's not magic. Here's your implementation guidance for production systems handling complex reasoning. First, implement specialized agent routing based on task type. Don't send everything through the same pipeline. Second, use parallel model queries for critical decisions with financial or safety implications. Yes, it costs more. Yes, it's worth it. Third, build consensus evaluation layers to handle model disagreement. You need a strategy for what happens when agents disagree. And fourth, monitor for systematic biases across your agent fleet. These patterns emerge at scale. Here's your action item. If you're building decision support systems, evaluate specialized agent architectures over monolithic model calls. The cost increase is material, but justified for complex reasoning tasks. This is where the architecture actually earns its keep. Now, let's talk about something that's already shipping in production, but nobody's calling by its scary name, recursive self-improvement with human in the loop. The industry consensus confirms this is operational today, and engineers are living it.
They're approving Claude agent actions every few minutes, and they've started calling it George Jetson syndrome. One-button approval clicks for AI actions. This creates 90% plus automated workflows with minimal human oversight. Here's the architecture pattern that's actually working. The AI system plans a multi-step workflow. The system requests permission for each step. A human provides one-click approval. Execution proceeds automatically. Then the loop repeats for the next decision point. This isn't theoretical AGI we're talking about. This is a production-ready pattern for automating complex workflows while maintaining control boundaries. But here's what matters. The bottleneck shifts from AI can't do this to how good is your approval UI? Your approval interface becomes critical infrastructure. Bad UX bottlenecks AI productivity completely. Good UX enables rapid iteration while maintaining oversight. So you need to think about approval granularity. Too fine-grained and you get approval fatigue. Too coarse and you lose control. You need rollback mechanisms with one-click undo for approved actions. You need audit trails with complete logging of approval history for debugging. And you need batch approvals to group related actions and reduce overhead. Here's the risk you need to monitor. The human pressing approve model works great until approval becomes rubber stamping. You need to build monitoring for approval patterns that indicate humans aren't actually reviewing. This is where the system breaks down. Here's your action item. If you're building AI agent systems, design your approval interface first, not last, first. This is your control plane for recursive automation. Treat it as critical infrastructure, not an afterthought. The difference between a system that works and a system that becomes a liability lives in this interface. All right, we need to talk about the big picture because there's a $650 billion infrastructure spend happening right now, and it creates opportunities you might be missing. Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, and Meta are deploying capital equivalent to Sweden's entire GDP into AI infrastructure. This concentration mirrors the 1990s telecom build-out, and that creates both systemic risks and real opportunities for builders like us. Let me break down where the technical opportunities actually are. First, cybersecurity. AI's expanded attack surfaces require enhanced defense. For your infrastructure, you need to budget for AI-specific security tooling as attack surfaces multiply with every model integration. Every new model you integrate is a new potential vulnerability. Second, data management and observability. Your observability stack needs AI-specific instrumentation right now. Request tracing across model calls, token usage monitoring, latency analysis per model version. These aren't nice-to-haves, they're requirements at scale. Datadog and ServiceNow aren't just benefiting from AI complexity, they're becoming essential infrastructure. Third, and this is the contrarian opportunity, market overcorrection creates buying opportunities. Freight brokerage is down 25% on AI concerns, but many tools trading at discounts due to AI displacement fears will become integration partners rather than casualties. Evaluate vendors carefully. Some of them are opportunities disguised as risks. And here's the build versus buy recalibration you need to consider. The infrastructure spend creates downstream price pressure. Managed services and cloud platforms will face margin compression. This potentially makes build your own infrastructure more cost competitive at scale. Run the math on when managed services cross over from convenience to expensive infrastructure rental. The numbers might surprise you. Here's your action item. Audit your infrastructure stack for AI-specific observability gaps today. Budget for enhanced security and data management as you scale AI integrations. And evaluate tools trading at discounts due to AI displacement fears. Some of them are integration opportunities hiding in plain sight. Let me wrap with one more technical lesson that illustrates a critical build decision. There's a breakthrough in fire physics simulation that shows when domain-specific models outperform general AI. Researchers built high-speed translator layers between particle systems for water and grid-based dynamics for fire. This enables real-time thermodynamic accuracy that general AI models simply cannot achieve. Here's why this matters for your architecture decisions. When water particles contact fire grid cells, the system runs Arrhenius equations to calculate combustion rates based on temperature and oxygen levels. This requires millisecond-level precision. The application domain is VR firefighter training and fire safety system testing. A kitchen sprinkler demonstration shows how millisecond timing differences create vastly different outcomes. That precision is valuable for optimizing real safety systems. So here's your decision framework. You specialize simulation when physical accuracy is legally or safety critical, when real-time performance requirements exceed AI inference latency, when domain-specific equations provide guaranteed correctness, or when training data for an AI approach doesn't exist or is prohibitively expensive. Use general AI when approximate solutions are acceptable, training data is abundant, flexibility matters more than precision, or domain rules are fuzzy or complex. The hybrid approach often provides optimal results. AI for high-level decisions, specialized simulation for critical accuracy. Don't default to AI just because it's the hot technology. Sometimes the specialized tool is the right tool. All right, let's bring this home. Your sprint goal for this week, pick one of these patterns and prototype it. Deploy a voice interface with 11 labs if you're building consumer-facing products. Implement a multi-agent architecture if you're handling complex reasoning. Design your approval interface if you're building agent systems. Or audit your infrastructure stack for AI-specific observability gaps. Pick one, ship something, and iterate. These aren't theoretical concepts. This is production infrastructure shipping today. The opportunities are real, the patterns are validated, and the time to build is now. Keep building. I'll see you in the terminal tomorrow.